Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is Madison Thomas. She lives and works in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she has quite a personal story that she has graciously turned into a book called Redefining. And Redefining is aimed at helping other young women in particular who struggle with body images, their sense of identity, and their sense of meaning. And we're going to talk about that. But I'll tell you this, having worked with both guys and girls, men and women, I know that these issues, while very, very important for the female population, are also very, very important for guys as well. And so I appreciate her taking time to talk with us today. And I hope that you'll find this conversation very encouraging. Madison, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, you're a lovely looking young lady, and that is obviously a blessing. But you've had quite a journey, 32 surgeries as a result of a difference at birth. Talk with us about the rare physical deformity that you started life with.
Mm-hmm. So I was born with proximal femoral focal deficiency. And so what that means is basically my femur was about half the size of my right femur. So when I was just 2 years old, the doctors suggested to my parents that they amputate my leg, that I was going to go through too many surgeries and it was going to be too much to handle. And so they prayed about it and felt called to fight for my leg. So eventually we made our way to Minnesota, where we met with Dr. Dahl. And there we were able to get to find a doctor that was willing to operate. And so that started the journey. And then when I was 4, I had a total hip reconstruction in Memphis with another doctor. And then 5 is when I started having the bone lengthenings. And so what the bone lengthenings were was basically where they would break my femur and then pull it apart for months to follow. And then I would heal and kind of repeat the process. And so I had a few pin infections and I had some knee surgeries, some hip surgeries. And so from 4 to 15, I had 29 surgeries. And then I took a few years off to get strong. And then I finished out my surgeries. And I just had my 32nd, which was a total knee replacement. And so I have a new knee. So I'm super excited about it. And that's the journey in very short version.
Well, thank you for doing that, because that in and of itself is amazing. But I want to talk about two other aspects before we really get to the substance of your book. Mm-hmm. You describe 32 surgeries. Mm-hmm. Describe your femur being broken, healing, rebroken, healing, rebroken, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear with the folks who are listening and watching. Mm-hmm. This wasn't some painless thing where they were able to just give you a pill or give you a shot and then it didn't hurt.
Mm-mm. No, it was, for many of my surgery or my lengthenings, they were external fixators. And so it was actually nails that went into my bone for many months. And that's what held my leg stable while they pulled my bone apart and then new bone formed in the place. And that's how it was lengthened. So it was definitely very painful, and my knee actually locked up from being stretched so much, so I wasn't able to bend it for many years, and I've been slowly getting my flexion back over the years in surgeries.
All right. Well, let's talk about that a little more, because again, I want folks to understand this is a very painful process,
mm-hmm.
not a moderately painful process or a somewhat painful process or an occasionally painful process. This was a painful process.
Yes, sir.
And over and over and over, mm-hmm. you made the choice to endure the pain toward a goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the preacher in me just wants to stop and preach, mm-hmm. because I mean, the idea of choosing pain for the sake of a good outcome is a lesson that a lot of people need to learn.
Yes. I would say that, something I talk about in my book is that if we are called to walk like Jesus, we're called to love like he loved. But mm-hmm. If you look at his life, he also suffered a lot. And so we're called Amen. To suffer a lot as well. And so I think when you can, some people have a confusion around God. And if God is God, then why is there so much pain in the world? And I think coming from somebody that has endured so much pain, it hasn't made me question who he is. It's confirmed in who he is, because he's the only one that could bring me through that. And so it's been a very interesting journey, and one that I even questioned when I was in college, if amputation was the right choice. I was tired and I hadn't walked in 8 months, and I didn't see an end in sight. And I remember Googling amputation when I was a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. And I immediately knew once I did that, I was like, okay, if God brought me through all this, he can continue to bring me through this. And I chose the same thing that my parents chose when I was two, that keeping my leg was the right choice and enduring the pain was the right choice. And it was instilling in me lessons and character that I couldn't have otherwise gotten. And so it was definitely, there were times where it was very crushing, but 1 Peter 5:10 is, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will confirm, establish, and strengthen you. That's not the exact verse, but around that. And I just read that all the time, and I just knew that I was being strengthened, confirmed, and established in who he created me to be. So I just
praise God.
Kept going.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you went through a lot of pain. You mentioned you went through lengthy periods of not being able to get around. I mean, it wasn't like they did this and then within a week or so, you were up walking and running. And no, mm-hmm. I mean, over and over again, you were immobilized and had to be immobilized in order for that bone to grow and the bone to heal like it needed to, so that it could be broken again and the process repeated.
Yes.
So, I mean, this was painful in terms of physical pain. This was painful in terms of emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another thing I want us to talk about related mm-hmm. to this, 'cause I want people to understand who this is that we're talking with, this beautiful young lady. It also left a ton of scars.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the scars, if you would.
Yeah, I think growing up, it was interesting because I had all these scars and I had like really heavy equipment on me a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I got looked at very differently mm-hmm. for those bouts of time. And I walked around with a big chunky sole on my shoes and it was hard. And I remember always praying every single night, like, God, just like heal my leg. And I'd look under the covers every morning, hoping that my leg would just be a normal leg. And it never was until I was, you know, late 20s, it eventually happened. But I remember dreaming about the day for years and years when both my legs would touch the ground at the same time. And when I would look at them and they would just be two legs that were the same length. And I thought that was going to be the day that I felt beautiful and confident in who I was. And I remember I got to that day and I was 15 and I had an internal rod at this point and we did the last millimeter of length mm-hmm. and my parents were crying because we'd just overcome this like super long journey. And I was crying because I was crushed. And mm-hmm. the day that I thought that was going to be the day that fulfilled that longing to be confident in who I was created, was not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And so that was the day that I had a choice to make. And I realized that I had put all my stock in what the world says about beauty, and the fact that I didn't see myself on any of the covers. I didn't see any scars on any covers. And that's when I decided that I was going to redefine the way I saw my life and my body, and define my scars as something that was beautiful and something that I could be confident in, even though it's not the world's definition of what is beautiful. So the scars were something that I had to learn how to love, and it was something that I had to get perspective on. But I think at the end of the day, a journey that started with just wanting to love the scars themselves turned out to be something that I learned how to love people through my scars, and that's what made them beautiful. So not necessarily the scars themselves, it's like the message behind them is truly what gives them their beauty.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Madison, you are an amazing work of grace.
Thank
God,
you.
God has done something in you and is doing something through you that is really rare. And it's a beautiful thing to see what Jesus is accomplishing. Tell us a little bit. You talked about your parents prayed about it when you were just a little girl. And tell us about how you came to move from just their faith to your own relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So in my book, I wanted to write a book to create something where it was an inspired toolbox that even women who didn't believe what I believed could still take some really helpful tools to get a healthy view of themselves. But I had to be transparent in the fact that the only way that I could get to the place of truly loving my body and my life and the person I was created to be was through God and my faith. And so that's my identity chapter. And I think at the end of the day, we all place our identity in something, and something that I encourage the readers, whether you believe in Christ or not, is don't place it in something that can be stripped from you in a day. So for me, I'm never going to place my identity in my exterior beauty or my relationships or my status or my career, because at the end of the day, those things really can be stripped in literally a day. And even if you don't believe what we believe, an honest man in 2020 is still an honest man in 1920. And that can't be stripped from you in a day. Mm-hmm. And that's more character. And so that's something that I really encourage, is to ask questions, to be curious, to take the time. It is the journey. And whether you believe what I believe or not, don't place it in something that can be stripped in a day. But for me, growing up in a very faith-centered home, it was hard, because I think for some people, they encounter God in 1 week or in 1 day, and it changes their whole life forever. But when you are raised in a Christian household, it's really hard to miss the romance. Like my dad always says that the Bible is the greatest love story that's ever been written. Mm-hmm. And for me, it truly is a love story. I think love is our main priority. And the second that we put any verse or anything above that calling over our life is the second that we miss the whole point. Sorry, there's another siren in the background. And so I really started to understand who Christ was when I saw love was the main priority, and that he didn't want slaves, he wants children, and that any way that we're called to live is not a way of guarding us from fun or whatever. It's a way of guarding our hearts, and he knows what's best. And so mine was very much a slow evolution of getting to know him and getting to know the romance of the Bible. And it was very much a process that took place, and a process that will always take place, of humbling myself and always staying committed to the journey and staying committed to being in a relationship with God. I think our relationship with God in some ways is like our very earthly relationships with, you have to put time and energy into it for it to flourish, but it's also unlike any earthly relationship, because he'll never fail us.
Well, and you're right. He never will. He never gives up on us.
Mm-hmm.
He's faithful. He never lies to us. He'll mm-hmm. never abuse us, even though he doesn't always do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about praying as a child that God would just go ahead and heal you, it's because you were taught that there is certainly the power of God, which is able to do that. If God had chosen to do that, he could do that. If God wanted to make it, Amy Carmichael, I often tell her story. She was a little girl in Ireland with brown eyes.
Mm.
The pretty girls all had blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little brown-eyed Irish lass, she was very, very disappointed. And she used to pray that God would give her blue eyes. And she didn't understand why he wouldn't. She knew he could. And she would claim verses and pray hard and get up the next morning and look in the mirror. And she still had brown eyes. But God had a call on her life that she didn't understand as a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And that was she was going to have a wonderful ministry in India.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to rescue little girls from temple prostitution. And she was able, with her brown eyes, to pass as one of the Indian women and go mm-hmm. into the temples and rescue these children. And she could not have done that with blue eyes.
That's an amazing story.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's crazy.
God knew exactly what he was up to. He knew what he had planned for her. And his plan is always, always best.
Mm-hmm.
And what God has made in you is something absolutely beautiful. And it's not just the body that you've learned to love. And again, I know there are people who feel like, well, we shouldn't love our bodies. Well, why in the world would you say that? God is the one who made us. Mm-hmm. And while the psalmist says God does not delight in the legs of a man, mm-hmm. the context of that passage is not that our legs aren't good. It's mm-hmm. that's not the supreme value. That's mm-hmm. not our source of value before God. I have a son who is a paraplegic, and he's been through more surgeries than you have, Madison.
Oh, wow.
He is 42 years old, and he's been through over 40 surgeries. And thank God he hasn't had any in a while. It's been 7 or 8 years now since his last surgery. But God's value on his life is not his physical ability or his mental ability. It is the fact that God made him with a purpose and redeemed him at the cross, and still to this day is using our son for his purposes. And so we rejoice in that. I was just sharing earlier with a couple that's going through some difficult things about someone we got to know years ago, Johnny Erickson Tata. And Johnny is a quadriplegic who has been through all kinds of suffering in her life. And yet, God has used her to touch so many lives all around the world. Johnny and Friends is a tremendous ministry. I don't know, Madison, if you're familiar with that. If not, I hope you'll get to learn about them, because you'd love Johnny and Johnny would love you. But God knows exactly what he's doing. And those scars of yours tell an amazing story. And it's a story that needs to be told. It's a beauty that needs to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so your book, Redefining, helps people recognize the value that God places on our lives and what real beauty is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, where can folks get the book, Redefining?
They can just go to madisonthomas.org, and they can find it there. And you can either buy the electronic version of it, or they can buy the physical copy of it. So
okay.
Just madisonthomas.org, and at the top of the website, it's just buy book. That's where you can find it.
Very good. Very mm-hmm. good. And now you mentioned when you were in college.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing now?
I actually just moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And so right now I am still in the world of doing stuff with my book and helping women and getting into the commercial real estate world. So
commercial real estate.
Two very different passions, but I love business and I love helping women. So I'm mixing the two at the moment.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
I have Christian friends in the world of real estate, residential and commercial, and that is an interesting battlefield.
Uh-huh.
But but I wish you all the best in that. And Madison,
you so much.
Your folks you mentioned really nurtured you in the faith. Both your mom and dad love the Lord, believe His word. How would you say this has impacted their faith journey as they've watched you go through this?
I think for them, they were warned about giving me all the surgeries when they mm-hmm. first started this path. A doctor said to them, you know, you have about an 88% chance of being divorced at the end of this road. Mm-hmm. Just want to let you know, you should be ready for that. And they took it on in conversations that we've had since then. And it was hard on me to have brought so much pain into the household. And so as an adult, I had to kind of go back and ask, you know, what did this teach you? What's the good in it for you? And I think for them, it definitely is something that they credit to making them stronger and making their faith stronger, because they're lengthening my leg over so many years was such a long journey that took a very dependent journey on the strength of the Lord and His presence and His peace. And it strengthened their relationships with people that were there to pray along the way. Mm-hmm. There are so many people in Knoxville and elsewhere that prayed for me for my whole journey. And so it taught them a lot and it brought them closer to Him, no doubt.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I know that God has done a lot in my son through the surgeries and everything that he's been through. We've on more than one occasion had to be helping him as he was in a body cast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not something where you just say to your child, well, sorry, but you're going to have to handle that. The parents are right there. They're part of the journey too. And God is doing stuff in the parents as well. So that's why I asked that question. I know that you had to see that it was at times a struggle for your folks. And yet I'm sure they could not love you more or be more proud of you and who you've become.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is a, any type of suffering, I'm sure is your child a single child?
No, he's the oldest of seven.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys. Wow. It's such a family battle as well. And my brothers are also so intricately involved, and we all went through it together, and we all had our own challenges to overcome as adults as well. So it's been something that I think the Lord has taught each of us a different lesson in, for sure.
And God has a way of doing that. He knows exactly what He's up to. Mm-hmm. And I pray that maybe one day we'll get a book from your brother too.
Yes. I have two older brothers.
Two older brothers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I would love for them to write a book. They're both incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Madison, for coming on with us, talking with us. And thank you for writing your book, sharing your story, talking about the fact that this was not an easy journey. Mm-hmm. But it was worth it. And so thank you for sharing the truth that you've learned from the Lord with others. If we can get you to come back sometime to East Tennessee, I hope you'll come out and visit us at Ware's Valley Ranch.
Of course. I would love that. Yes.
All right. God bless you, Madison.
Thank you so much. You as well.
Thanks.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.